This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Today on The Live Feed, we take you to Blooming Grounds Coffee House in Winona, Minnesota for the musical stylings of Nicole and the Khans. Listen to our interview and the traditional and contemporary music stylings of the Middle East from a Winona native and her band, along with our interview as they discuss their unique style of music, formation as a band, musical influences, and more. I'm Amanda Buddy, inviting you to treat your ears on The Live Feed. This is Amanda Buddy coming to you from Blooming Grounds in Winona, Minnesota. I'm with Nicole and the Khans. And can you guys just go around and introduce yourself and your role in the band?
I'm Nicole Jensen, and I sing and play accordion and various pieces of percussion.
I'm Frank Bramlett, and I play percussion. Darbuka and Rick and Daff and a few other assorted percussive instruments.
My name's Eric Teixeira. I play the oud, which is a Middle Eastern lute. I also back up on percussion, and that's my job.
And then how do you guys describe your sound to those that haven't heard of you guys before?
Well, I play with a Balkan band in Santa Fe, where I live. And so the way that I've been conceiving of this project is that we're kind of in the southern Balkans and northern Africa, Mediterranean kind of music. And then I'll let these guys explain kind of their angle on that, where we meet.
Right, because we kind of cover all of the Arabic world from Lebanon, Israel, Iran, you know, there's a few other countries that, you know, Egypt,
Jordan.
Tunisia, even some Greek stuff as well. So we're kind of a blend of Balkan, Arabic, Turkish music.
We pretty much just cover the Mediterranean, like pretty much every shore, it seems.
And how did you guys form as a band?
So last summer, I was up here visiting my family, and I found out that these guys were going to be nearby, we thought. They were at the Bristol, they were working the Bristol Renaissance Festival. So I thought that it was in Bristol, Wisconsin. And they thought that I said Winona. So we were both looking at a map that showed that we were 2 hours away from each other. And then, so I booked us a gig at Broken World Records. And then about 3 days before said gig, we somehow realized that they were actually in Chicago. And so they ended up being brave enough to drive 6 hours for a gig. They got up the next morning and left right away. And we had so much fun, we decided we had to be sure that we did it again. And so this year we planned a little better.
The fact that I'm based in Albuquerque. Eric comes to Albuquerque from Phoenix, and Nicole is from Santa Fe. And those Santa Fe and Albuquerque are, you know, sort of sister cities, just 45 minutes, an hour apart. So it's given us an opportunity when we're all in town together that we can come and play together and, have a lot of fun.
And then who are your musical and non-musical influences in your music?
I know I've taken a lot of inspiration from my drum teachers, Suhail Kaspar, Faisal Zidane, Kareem Nagy, just to name a few of the great percussionists of the Middle East. And they're great.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the kind of 50s, 60s Egyptian music, Muhammad Abdul Wahab, Farid Al Atrash, and I also like the American versions of those music as well. House of Tarab, which is a great band that does something similar out of Seattle. So it's amazing how far spread this music is.
And I'd just like to mention also, culturally, we're playing music that is likely never heard together. We're playing music from, you know, countries that are at odds with one another. And so we're kind of bridging this gap culturally so that, we don't focus on one style, but we bring them all together.
And then I would just put out there that I've been influenced heavily by a lot of different singing teachers and percussion teachers. Polly Ferber in New Mexico and Brenna McCrimmon is my Turkish singing teacher. Do Balkan camps on the East and West Coast, and they've been really fun. Yeah.
is falling all around, blessings pouring on the ground. When you love, love with your heart. Rain is falling all around, blessings pouring on the ground. When you love, love with your heart.
Thank you.
To see, I'd fly so high across the mountains for you, my dear, for you, my dear.
Thank you.
A las dos me grandecí, a las
You're listening to Nicole and the Cons live at Blooming Grounds Coffee House in Winona, Minnesota. Now back to our interview with the band.
What drew all of you to such a unique sound and unique music? I took some ensembles in world music while I was in college. And so, you know, studying a little bit of African drum and dance, a little bit of gamelan music, and then performed one semester with an ensemble called the Balkan Middle Eastern Ensemble and really enjoyed their sound and so signed up for it. And then I was hooked.
And I started playing the piano and trombone and bass and, you know, middle school band and high school. And then when I was in college, I started doing these hippie drum circles, which were awesome. But I wasn't learning too much. I was just having fun. And it wasn't until I picked up African drumming and I started playing with people from Senegal and Ghana that was like, it was a whole new world, because drumming alone is like an art form. And I found that out because these guys were just incredible. And then I was fortunate enough to be invited into a band called Sadaka, where we played with Beth Beaver and Cindy Bachicha. And they were musicians that had been playing for years and years. So I got to kind of inch along with them and start as a novice and, you know, progress, because they were very accepting of my novice quality. And since then, I've been able to get instruction from the masters and be able to learn some techniques and advance my own skill. So I was just really lucky, I think, that, you know, all these elements came into place and influenced me at the right time.
So I guess I started off pretty similarly with middle school band and playing trombone and starting off with heavy metal music, and then eventually getting interested in other styles. And then that's when I just kind of fell into Middle Eastern music as one of many different world music that is prevalent in New Mexico, actually. That was one place where I got to do Indonesian and klezmer and a lot of different musical styles that it was a very accepting place and a great place to learn different styles of music, and that's really how we all met each other, was in New Mexico in that world music scene.
And I want to plug Middle Eastern Music and Dance Camp up in Mendocino, California, where anybody can go for a week in the Redwoods. There's concerts every night and just incredible musicians, and they're very accepting of beginners, and yeah, so recommend that.
And that's the same location of previously said Balkan camp as well, so this is another place you can go to learn that style of music.
And then how does this music affect you and those around you and like your audiences that you see?
Around here especially, I see people being like, they're a little hesitant because it's outside of their usual and then they're really surprised that they like it. Like, oh, I really liked your music. Like, they were really surprised to have been able to connect with it. And one thing that I really personally geek out on is music cognition. And so when we're listening to music that's in a language that we speak, we're actually, neurologically, you can measure that there's activity happening in your left brain. So it's our analytical center. It's where we receive information and technical things. And then when you're listening to music that has no words or that is in a language that you don't speak, there's a bunch of activity in your right brain. And so maybe that inspires you to sit there and draw or to dream up a story, or someone said, oh, it's just really relaxing and yet it's not sleepy. And that's because there's all that activity in your right brain. And which I think is, you know, we're in the world today, there's all kinds of conversation around, like, how do we activate this creative center, this relaxation, this other way of being that we know is possible, but we aren't exactly sure because we live in such a left brain society. So listening to music that's outside of your normal range and that's in a language that you don't speak is one way to activate that right hemisphere of the brain.
And then from a percussion standpoint, you know, so much American styles, so many American styles of music tend to be in a sort of a straight pattern of twos and fours. And it's sort of cut and dry. Almost, you know, 90-95% of the music you're going to hear is in those twos and fours, and maybe three or one if you like disco or techno. And so what's really neat about this music, some of the songs are in different time signatures. So you have meters that are in seven, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15, 14. I like 5. That's pretty fun. But yeah, just that it's so different. It's one of the things that I really like.
I guess another thing that I like about it, coming from a melody standpoint, is it's really kind of infectious, and it's something that people can clue into. And what I really love is little children, if they're in the audience, almost always respond to it. And we had that tonight as well. And it's amazing how many people say that, you know, they have a 2 or 3 year old that's just starts dancing along and then say something like, I've never seen them do this before. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. There's just something in the music that just it kind of touches you. I'm not exactly sure how.
And what advice do you have for fellow bands and musicians?
Play your music really, really slow. And get in the groove and like feel it out, you know, before you try to do too much too soon, before you just rock out like really heavy. Lay it down softly and like figure out what's really going on with the rhythms and the melodies, and then bring it up to tempo. Bring it to that point where everybody's like, that's now it's music.
Yeah. And I guess I would say just don't be afraid to look at other music. I know a lot of people that are musicians that really see their musical identity as something that has to come directly from them. And one thing that I've learned studying different styles of music and really beginning to feel it, because at first it's more a mental exercise as a musician, and then eventually you really start to think differently just because it's you're listening to different things and you don't even notice it happening. And even when you're doing things that aren't... if you're not doing any things in your comfort level, eventually that it starts informing your music in ways that you just don't realize, and it adds to your identity. So,
and I would say, don't be afraid to be different. A lot of people have said to me, like, I don't really get it why you do music like that, or I actually have a family member that told another family member of mine that she thought it was really weird, the music that I played, because it's not like rock and roll, it's not jazz, it's not something that she understands. And so I would say, you know, try not to take anybody's opinions too personally or too seriously. Play music that you like because you enjoy it, for your enjoyment. Don't play music because you think, well, this is the kind of music that other people want to hear, because then you're going down a rabbit hole of not making music from your heart. And I think that part of why people connect with me when I'm singing, and I would say the same about these guys too, is that I'm really, really enjoying what I'm doing, and I'm not pretending, and I'm not trying to be anyone else, and I'm not really worrying about if people are liking it or not. I mean, of course I like it when people like the music, but I'm presenting something that I like, and that I really enjoy practicing, and I really enjoy playing, and that is contagious in a room. So don't be afraid to be different.
And then, what do you enjoy most about performing, and why do you do it?
It's all about the tunes, man.
I really enjoy just meeting people. For me, it's if you play music that somebody likes, it's just kind of talking to them directly in a way that you don't have to be verbal, I guess. And you get to meet so many interesting people from different walks of life. And a lot of it is just comes down to they kind of like the same music that you're liking at that moment. So it's that's my favorite part.
And I just really love, I mean, just to piggyback on that a little bit, I really love the nonverbal communication that goes on as people are just smiling, as they start clapping and they start engaging with the music, or they notice something that has happened between the band and they laugh, or you can just really tell that people are there watching. And then also I really love the moment when someone hears something that they've never heard before, and they're just looking at you like, what are you doing? And what is this? And what is that sound? And how is he playing the drum that way? And how is he making all those sounds? And how are you doing that thing with your voice? And you can just see it in people's eyes and in their face, like, whoa, I've never seen this. Or when the kids come up and they're like trying to, like, they're just reaching out for Eric. A little girl tonight came up and just wanted to touch him, just wanted to touch his instrument. Like, what is that? That I love that, those moments. And it's all about the tunes too.
And then my last question is, where can people hear more about you guys and like hear your upcoming shows and like even your music too?
So I play with a band in Santa Fe called Rumelia, Rumelia. And we have a website called rumeliamusic.com. And we play shows in and around the Southwest. And we also have an upcoming Labor Day event where we'll be teaching a day of classes and holding a concert. Actually, it's 2 days of classes and a concert. And then the other way to find us would be the cons on Facebook, because any shows we have in the Midwest here, they will be advertising through. And here's more on that.
Right. I just got to say that the cons is actually a very popular name. And a lot of people, you know, that's their family name or their lineage. So we've had to differentiate ourselves on the Facebook. So we are 505 cons, and that's 505 KHANS. I wish we could just be the cons, but that was already taken. Well, you can look up on SoundCloud, or we have a CD now. We're going to be putting out another CD. So, yeah. Look for the cons from Albuquerque.
Thank you. this. So just remember everything we've taught you here. This next one's Rompy Rompy, and the rhythm repeats itself on 9 beats this time. Okay? So it's going to be a little funky. You can also clap with it.
Or the, if you're a dancer, they oftentimes think of it as short, 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 long, short, 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 long, short, 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 long, short, short, short. We played for the dancers on Monday, and Dave had to have come and get more. This is a nice dance.
Almadı, almadı. Thank you. Thank you.
చిత్తుపల మంది కసవి సంసరిడు యోరి షుకర్ షుకర్ చినిలుడు యోరి లోష లోష
very much. Thanks again to Nicole and the Cons for sitting down with us today. To learn more about this band and their upcoming shows, check out their Facebook page, 505 Cons. I'm Amanda Buddy, thanking you for listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.